How's everybody? I'm sorry I didn't hear you. Blessed and highly favored. Praise God. Would you grab your swords this morning? And turn to Isaiah 9. Isaiah chapter 9. How many of y'all know the Bible's true? Then make sure you have one. We have Bibles here if you don't have any with you, if you forgot it. Now, if you didn't think the word was worth reading, I can tell you it really is. You know, and I just want to encourage you, get your own Bible. Don't share one. And the reason for that, because you want to take special notes in your own Bible that you want to have specifically for you sometimes. There's things that you want to write in your Bible, but if you're sharing one, you can't write it in. Has everybody got it? Now, you may be taking notes, and hopefully you'll transfer it over, but how many times you really transfer it over? Okay? So let's outwit the enemy. Praise God. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. So that just destroys every theology of any sort that thinks that Jesus is just the Son of God. He is God. He's called Almighty God. Has everybody got it? It says, he is called what? Everlasting Father. You mean Jesus was the Father? Yes. Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be what? No end. So it'll be continuous, won't it? Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. To order it and establish it. Who's to order it and establish it? Jesus. And what's he going to order and establish it with? Judgment and justice. How many of y'all know that God's judgment is on the earth right now? That's why you're seeing all kinds of earthquakes and disasters and everything else. It's hope to awaken people that there is an eternal God that loves them before his wrath comes. And it says to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So there's something important about this. He's talking about an everlasting kingdom, an eternal kingdom, or a heavenly kingdom that is forever. So there's a kingdom of the earth and there's a kingdom of eternity. And the kingdom of the earth is temporary. Even God's kingdom on this earth will be temporary. It may be temporary compared to eternal. Does everybody got it? Now, we know that when the Lord returns, we're going to reign for 1,000 years, right? But then we're going to get a new earth and a new heaven. And everything's going to be new. But even after a period of time, that's going to go. And we'll go to places where we can't even imagine yet. We can't even comprehend it yet. So in this, please understand that the eternal kingdom is about Jesus setting it, establishing it, and keeping it in order. Is everybody with me? So when you are in the kingdom of God, you are part of an eternal kingdom. That's why it's time to begin to learn to act like a citizen of the eternal kingdom, not of the kingdom of this world, because the Bible says that the Lord is going to destroy the kingdom of evil. And the ruler of this earth is Satan, and his kingdom reigns here. But it's only temporary, isn't it? Go to Matthew 3. Verse 1. Matthew 3 and verse 1. Is everybody there? In those days, what? John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, John was not carrying the kingdom of heaven. John was the forerunner of the kingdom of heaven. And he said, for this, he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight. So we see here John the Baptist was the forerunner of the eternal kingdom, or what we call the heavenly kingdom. He was preparing the way for the carrier of the eternal kingdom to come. Is everybody with me? He was preparing a way for the carrier of the eternal kingdom to come. But Jesus was not only the carrier, he is the eternal kingdom. He is the heavenly kingdom. And this is a hard thing where people have a hard time to comprehend because they're still looking, thinking carnally. How can a man have a kingdom? Is everybody with me? How can a man have a kingdom? But it's not about a man. It's about Jesus was carrying the eternal kingdom, not only in him, but he is the eternal kingdom. Go to Matthew 14. So John the Baptist was the forerunner of the eternal kingdom, the person carrying the eternal kingdom and who was the eternal kingdom. And Matthew 14. Would you read this with me, starting at verse 1? Matthew 14. And at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Now listen, so Herod was fornicating with his brother's wife. Does everybody got it? And this is what happened. Because John had said to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. So John rebuked Herod, and Herod took him and put him in prison. Although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. So Herod put him in prison, but he didn't behead him yet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. Now this is powerful. Because John was beheaded by what we call the harlot Babylon. These are things that were for, understand this. The scriptures are always talking about things that happen as a forerunner of what's going to come. Even though it was by Herodias that it was prompt that John be beheaded. In the world system, which is the Babylonian system, ruled by Satan's kingdom. In the end times, they'll talk about a harlot, the mystery harlot Babylon. And their purpose is to behead believers. Go to Revelation 20. In other words, John came as a forerunner of the heavenly kingdom, the eternal kingdom. The first thing that happened when Jesus showed up on the scene, John was taken into prison, and then he was beheaded because there is a kingdom cost. Everyone say a kingdom cost. And one of the things the Lord wants to know, if you're willing to pay the kingdom cost. Are you willing to pay the kingdom cost to expand the kingdom that you may be about kingdom business? In the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Glory. So there is a kingdom cost, and the Lord wants to know whether you're willing to pay the cost to expand the kingdom. In Revelation 20, in verse 4, would you read it with me? And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was commanded to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been what? Beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God. Now, I want you to understand that this is physical, but there's an area where it's spiritual. Who had not worshipped the beast or his image. Now, the beast and his image is associated with Mystery Babylon, the things of the world. And had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for what? 1,000 years. Now we know that this is headed towards that, but do you know that people are being beheaded right now for the witness of Christ in other countries? And so understand that this is happening right now, and this is also associated with Mystery Babylon. So we see here that they were being beheaded for the witness of Christ. Now, there is a kingdom cost, and one of the things that we need to do is be beheaded. We need to be beheaded. I'm talking spiritually. We need to be beheaded so that we can be a witness of Christ. Go to Revelation 17. Kingdom cost. In verse 4. Is everybody there? And the woman was what? Arrayed in purple and scarlet, associated with royalty, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having her own hand a golden what? Cup full of what? Abominations. And the filthiness of her fornications. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. That woman was associated also, because that spirit has been here since Satan has taken over this world, this earth. And if you go down all back in history, you'll always see that she's always popped her head up. She's always been there in religions and all kinds of other things. And in this, now you even see it where Herod, it was his brother's wife who he was living with now. And John the Baptist, a forerunner of righteousness and truth, eternal kingdom, told Herod, what you're doing isn't right, and rebuked him. He put him in prison but didn't want to kill him. But the woman stood up to behead him because he carried the witness of truth and was a forerunner of the eternal heavenly kingdom who was about to show up. Matthew 4. The cost. It's called kingdom cost. Now, I'm not asking you to go home and cut your head off. Hello. So make sure you don't show with no head, you know. In Matthew 4, in verse 8. Matthew 4, verse 8. Is everybody there? What does this say? Read it with me. And again the devil, what? Took Jesus up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the what? Kingdoms of the world and their glory. Why? Because who ruled the kingdoms of the world? Satan. So he was able to show him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Ooh. So we see here, again that John was in prison to be beheaded, wasn't he? Amen? So the Lord rebuked Satan. Now let's go a little bit further. Then the devil left him, right? And behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came to and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat where? In darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So again, John was preaching. He was the forerunner. John got put in prison. He got beheaded. Jesus stood up, was tempted by the devil, rebuked him, chose not to take the kingdoms of the world because he brought his own kingdom. And he began to go out and preach about the eternal kingdom of heaven. Is everybody with me? Again, grab hold of this. Go to verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What kingdom? The eternal kingdom of heaven. And what? Healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease and among the people. Why? Because the earthly kingdom did not heal, did it? Only the eternal kingdom heals. Only the eternal kingdom frees people. Only the eternal kingdom restores and reconciles. Only the eternal kingdom. The other kingdoms have to behead to have victory. For me and you to have victory, we must behead ourselves. We'll talk more about that. Hallelujah. So John was put in prison, beheaded, because Jesus became the head. But not only the head, but the body, and preach the kingdom of heaven. Go to Matthew 5. In verse 3. What's it say? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of what? These are qualifications. That means humble. Humble. Go to verse 10. Blessed are those who are what? Persecuted for what? Righteousness' sake. For what? Righteousness' sake. For theirs is the what? Kingdom of heaven. Go to verse 20. For I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means what? Enter the kingdom of heaven. So he talks about being humble, being able to endure, and practice righteousness. Those are three qualifications for the eternal kingdom. That's called kingdom cost. Kingdom cost. And this, we must be beheaded of self. We must be beheaded of self. Go to Matthew 7. Well, I believe there's a God. That's good. So do the demons. How many of y'all know demons believe in God? Hello? Matthew 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. Is everybody there? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So there's going to be many people who think they're going home, that they're associated with the eternal kingdom because they've accepted Jesus as their Lord or their Savior, but they're still doing their own will. When you do your own will, it's called practicing unrighteousness. It is called practicing lawlessness. There is a difference between you doing your will as a believer and you doing God's will. And only those who do the will of God will enter the eternal kingdom. Is everybody okay? Anybody okay? Okay. Go to Matthew 18. In verse 2, Matthew 18 and verse 2. Then Jesus called a little child and set him in the midst of them, and he said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little children, you will by no means what? Enter the kingdom of heaven." You will by not enter what? The kingdom of heaven. So you have to be converted as a what? Little child. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, why is he talking about this? He's saying be converted like a little child or little children. Why? Because a child is all trusting. A child is all forgiving. And a child is always willing to learn. All trusting, all forgiving, and willing to learn. So you think we need to be that way? Amen. In Luke 14. Kingdom cost. It's your head. Verse 25. Luke 14. Is everybody there? Verse 25. Let's read it together. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and what? Count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build but was not able to finish.'" That's called kingdom cost. Now, I want to ask you something. What interferes with the cost of the kingdom or kingdom cost? Because it's going to take, the cost of the kingdom is to be beheaded. What things keep us carnally attached? Things that keep us carnally attached. What can affect you to keep your mind carnal? How about drugs? How about alcohol? That's why when people are on medication or drinking and things to that degree, how about TV? How about music? All those things keep you carnal, where you are not sensitive enough or can discern or have clarity enough to be about kingdom business. Because what happens is the enemy causes you to drift. You can't hold focus. You can't be about kingdom business. You may want to be about kingdom business, but you can't be about kingdom business because your mind, your carnal head is not beheaded, and the mind of Christ doesn't have full reign. That's why God brings us so that we can learn, so we can know how to behead ourselves. Amen? Go to Romans 8. There is a cost in following Christ. There is a cost of kingdom entrance. There is Now, we know Jesus paid the ultimate price, didn't he? What a cost. But think about this. John the Baptist came, and he lost his head. Jesus took over. But Jesus was here with the complete kingdom, with the head and the body. So he had to die on the cross for me and you. But the one thing that he left was his body, but his head. is in heaven. So he left his spirit with me and you so that his head could reign in me and you with the mind of Christ through his spirit. Is everybody okay? Do you got this? I want to go to Corinthians. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So you must begin to discern those things and be careful of those things that are going to prevent you from being beheaded or maintaining that area where your carnal head is no longer in reign, but the mind of Christ is in reign. And it's going to take staying in God's presence. That's why worship is essential. When the presence of God isn't with you, you lose focus, because the mind of Christ is no longer reigning, because the presence of God is where the mind of Christ is. And in this, it's like, it's where the power comes for the mind of Christ to be activated, is in the presence of God. And we need to walk in that power and the anointing. People make decisions according to their common senses, carnal senses, according to the things that are best pleasing to them, that are easier for them, instead of what God says. Because it's the carnal mind that's being manipulated by the powers of darkness. And one of the things that the devil always wants to do is to keep you far from the presence of God, so that your carnal head is no longer being beheaded, but it's ruling your rest of your body. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, let's read it. But as it is written, eye has what? Not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who what? Who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his what? Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the what? Deep things of God. Wow. Verse 14. But the natural man does what? Does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Why? Because they're still relying on their carnal common sense, the things that are easier for them, because they're not willing to pay the price, the kingdom cost. Remember, the devil's purpose is to keep you from the presence of God. He doesn't care if you read your Bible. He doesn't care if you go out and evangelize. Because if the anointing isn't backing you, you're a farmer. A farmer that plants seeds. And you can't hurt the devil by throwing seeds at him. It must be the sword of the Spirit. This is the difference between religion and relationship. People fall back into religiosity, and they begin to want to go in survivalness of their life. So they look at things that are easier, because the presence of God exposes their wicked deeds, their wicked thoughts, their wicked intents, their wicked motives. It brings conviction. It brings chastening. And individuals run from it, proclaiming to be believers, but not willing to come to the light, drink the light, and be free. They'd rather stay in their own bondage than humble themselves. Oh, glory. And verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. So an individual comes to a place who is a Spirit-filled believer, knowing the things of God, obeying the things of God, and beginning to drift away, and begin to associate with the things carnally, begin to dab into this, a drink here, a smoke here, a this there. And what happens is, you know, when you're on course, and we talked about this yesterday at a Bible study, when you're on course, and the enemy, if you're on the water, you know, and you're sailing a boat, and the enemy just gives a little bitsy little teeny bit off course, you know, you begin to drift and you don't even know you're drifting. You don't even know you're drifting till you're so far out. And you're like, oh my God, how did I get there? And it's maybe because you rejected counsel. Maybe you didn't get counsel. You didn't submit to the things of God. You began to justify, compromise, and reason. All of these areas and how the devil begins to just twist us away because his purpose is to move us from the presence of God so we can't get convicted. So we can't get chastened. And then we begin to reason, justify, compromise, make excuses, all kinds of things, blame everybody else for our stuff. Oh, nobody loves me. And all of this foolishness because the carnal mind is now taking possession. The head that was beheaded has now been risen from the dead and placed back on. And now the individual is so far out that it's going to take complete death to get them back. Humbleness. Humbleness. It's amazing how many believers are on crazy medication. You know, medication flaws your perception. It messes people up. They get on all this. They are oppressed. The reason why they're oppressed is because they're not in the presence of God. The reason why they're confused is because they're not in the presence of God. They've agreed with the enemy to stay out of the presence of God. Then they look for success and fulfillment in their jobs, in their relationships, in accomplishing things instead of the presence of God. See, they're no longer about kingdom business or about their own empire business. What can I do that's best for me instead of what can I do what's best for the kingdom? The best thing for you to do in the kingdom is die to yourself and behead yourself so that you are about kingdom business. This is about kingdom business now. I'm not talking about natural, carnal kingdom business. I'm talking about eternal kingdom business. Not your kingdom, his kingdom. But you know what? When you're in his kingdom, it becomes your kingdom. And if you're not taking care of the kingdom that God has given you and the responsibility that he's given you, how do you expect to advance in the kingdom? Again, if you don't have a desire to advance in the kingdom of God, there's something wrong with you. There's something not right. Romans 8. Turn to your neighbor and tell him this message is for me. Romans 8, 5. Glory! Is everybody okay? You came to hear truth, right? What decisions are you making? Are they expanding the kingdom or are they promoting you? Are they expanding your desires? What decisions are you truly making? Are you really about kingdom business or are you about your own business? Verse 5. Let's read it. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the what? Things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for it to be what? Carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's why people are tormented. Because they're still trying to find fulfillment. They read the word and they think, oh, I prayed because I read a chapter today. You didn't pray because you read a chapter. You just read a chapter. Did you make contact? Did you make connection? Did you feel a peace of God, sense the peace of God come on you? Do you know that God heard you? Did he speak to you? Is there a change in you? Is there something you thought you were going to do and you said, no, that ain't right? Did you seek the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness? To know that all things will be added to you, or did you go to seek the things that needed to be added to you before you sought the kingdom of God? Then you're about your business and not kingdom business. Remember something. You gave your life to Jesus, you don't have a life. When you choose to live your life and expect God to live in your life, he's not going to. He will wait until you choose to come back and live in his life. And I'm sharing with you that the impressions and influences of demonic activity has arise so greatly right now that we must be sensitive to these things, have clarity to these things. What are you touching? What are you putting in your mouth? What are you seeing? What are you hearing that's causing you to have flawed perception and be about your own business instead of kingdom business? Have you lost what the end result is? Have you lost the fear of God? Or maybe you never had it. Have you been playing religion and hope that you can skip home and make it because Jesus loves you? You know what? Because he loves you, he will judge you. And verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Your carnal mind, the one that you were born with, hates the things of God. It rebels against them and always will. Look it. For it is not what? Subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Your carnal mind. That's why you must be beheaded. That is the cost. You must become beheaded. You've got to behead yourself. Just put your head. You know what's beautiful? A lamb. You can take a lamb and lay its head on the that body down and lay its head on the block and it won't move. But a goat, man, it will buck all the way. But the lamb is willing to give up its life. Oh, hallelujah. That's why he's called the Lamb of God. The ultimate sacrifice. Now, it says, because the carnal mind, verse 7, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you're in the carnal mind, if your mind is still there operating your life and running your life, you are not pleasing God. I don't care if you tithe. No, I'm not telling you not to tithe. Hopefully that'll get your way out. Maybe you can buy your way out with tithing, holy. No, you can't. Only obedience brings it. Has everybody got it? See, people think they can buy their way out.
I tithe.
Remember the one that Jesus went to? And he said, I do all the right things. I tithe. I help the homeless. I do this. I do that. And Jesus said, cool, sell everything you have and follow me. Hold on a second. Because he wasn't willing to follow. See, that's what believe means, to follow. So if you're telling people you're a believer and you're still in the carnal state of mind, you can't be a believer because you can't follow. It's impossible. You will follow what you want to do and not what he wants you to do. So the kingdom cost is to be beheaded. Glory. Matthew 16. Lose your head. We have a spiritual chopping block. Matthew 16 and verse 21. Let's read it. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be what? Killed and be raised to what? Third day. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. Oh, Peter was carnally headed. Hello. He wasn't thinking spiritually, was he? He was saying, Lord, ain't nobody coming to you except for through me. He called him Lord, but yet he wasn't acknowledging him as Lord. But he, Jesus, turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me what? Satan, because Peter was in his carnal state of mind. He was thinking the way Satan thinks. You are an offense to me. Look at what he says. Read it with me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of what? Men. So even Peter, that was sitting at his table, had communion with him, everything. Saw signs and wonders. Still got carnally headed. So everybody got it. And Jesus said, Satan, get behind me. Why? Because his mind became carnal and he thought the way Satan thought. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Ooh. See, so we must deny ourselves and removing our head. We must become beheaded. Romans 2. In verse 1. Romans 2, verse 1. Is everybody there? Everybody okay? Are you getting this? Verse 1, therefore you are inexcusable, oh man or woman, whoever you are, who judge, for whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you judge, practice the same things. It's amazing how people judge other people when they're doing the same thing. I can't believe that person's doing this, and they're doing the same stinking thing. I can't believe that person is using dope. Come on, honey, let's go have a drink. I can't believe that person is fornicating. Come on, honey, let's watch some pornography. Hello? But we know that the judgment of God, in verse 2, is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, oh man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? God's going to shake your tree until your head falls off. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness? Forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Turn away. Run from evil. And run into the presence of God. But in accordance with your hardness and your impedant heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath. Now, there's a difference between the wrath of God and the judgment of God. His judgment comes before his wrath. Because his judgment is to shake us up so we don't get snagged in his wrath. But you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But those who are what? Self-seeking. Now, is self-seeking according to carnal mind? Yes. Because is self-seeking a part of kingdom business? No. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greeks, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. And I want to close in Ephesians 4. So the result is life or death, wrath or peace, wrath and torment, or peace and joy. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read it Ephesians 4:11. Glory. And he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints and for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he's saying what? Assemble. Learn. 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 That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the what? Head, Christ, because we are the body. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Christ the head. We are the body. We must remove our head to be unified in the body of Christ. So to be made whole, we must remove our head, because we are of the body, so that now your body is the body of Christ with the head of Christ. Has everybody got it? Because you have the mind of Christ. So Christ is the head. We are the body. And we must remove our head for the mind of Christ, so the body functions in complete purpose and operation of kingdom business. Because of the kingdom cost, we are willing to pay. And you must ask yourself this. Am I willing to pay the cost? Am I willing to pay that cost? That when I stand before God, I won't say, Lord, Lord, and he won't say, I don't know you because you practice lawlessness. I don't know you because you judge others, but you practice the same thing. Or will he say to you, enter in my good and faithful servant, because you were willing to pay the cost to behead yourself and be like-minded with me. Think about it. You don't need to pray about it. Think about it and make the choice so you can pray. Time is running out. Look at the things that are causing you to maintain the carnal mind, promoting it, and removing the mind of Christ. What is it? What are you touching? What are you listening to? What are you watching? What are you agreeing with? Who are you fellowshipping with? What is it? What's your mouth saying? Search these things out before it's too late. Amen? Lift your hands to heaven. Father, we give you all glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for your word. Let it penetrate the spirit, soul, and body, and the carnal mind. Bring conviction, bring correction, bring chastening, bring reconciliation, bring freedom. Bring your light and bring your truth. Bring your power. And bring your healing to each and every one here today, Lord, that we may let go of those things that cause us to stumble and walk in peace, truth, and righteousness of the Holy Spirit. That we may be about kingdom business with the mind of Christ, willing to pay the cost of beheadment in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.